WGBW Denmark, Green Bay's real news and great conversation, a civic media radio station.
This is a special report from ABC News. I'm Sherry Preston. The U.S. figure skating team confirms some of its members, coaches, and relatives were on board the American Airlines regional jet that crashed into the Potomac overnight in Washington, D.C. after colliding with an Army Black Hawk helicopter on a training mission.
The explosion sending what was left of both aircrafts plunging into the Potomac River. The water temperature, life-threatening, with the river only just starting to thaw after being frozen for weeks. Experts say the runway the plane was approaching is rarely used and say the helicopter should not have been in the approaching area of an active runway.
ABC's Alex Perche in D.C., where Police Chief John Donnelly says
the conditions out there are extremely rough for the responders. It's cold. They're dealing with relatively windy conditions.
Just before the collision, the pilot of the Army chopper confirmed to air traffic control it did see the regional jet. This is ABC News. Calling inflation somewhat elevated and the job market solid, the Federal Reserve is leaving interest rates right where they are. That despite calls from President Trump to keep lowering rates, the Fed cut them three times last year. Former New Jersey Senator Bob Menendez sentenced to more than a decade behind bars after taking bribes of gold bars, a car, and cash.
Menendez became the first U.S. senator to be convicted of acting as an agent of a foreign government, Egypt and Qatar. Your Honor, you have before you a chastened man, Menendez sobbed to federal judge Sidney Stein. Outside the courthouse,
I am innocent.
And
President Trump is right,
calling it
a political witch hunt.
Menendez plans an appeal. His wife has a March trial on similar corruption and bribery charges. Two people convicted of bribing Menendez were sentenced Wednesday to 7 and 8 years behind bars.
ABC's Chuck Severson. Starbucks is looking to simplify. The coffee giant says by this summer its menu will be trimmed by about 30%. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
I'm Lisa Hale with WGBW News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section at WGBW.FM.
Valentine's Day is coming up, and I'm telling you, she doesn't want flowers, she wants plants. This is your new Wisco 411. I'm Amanda Nimmer, and I am strongly recommending that you sign yourself and your special someone up for a Hart Hoya Valentine's Day class at the Plant People on February 8th at 11 a.m. Why? Because flowers die, and as long as you try a little bit, plants don't. So what are you waiting for? Sign up. Go to WGBW.FM and click events to learn more.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Where are you at with dome stadiums?
Oh, love them. Snow games are awesome, but it's also a risk of injuries and everything.
Give me a dome anytime. I don't want to see elite athletes running on snow like it's me playing out there and tripping and slipping. I want to watch those guys run. I want the receivers to run and catch their passes. I want to see great athletes being great athletes.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
What do you know about Black History Month? Stories past and present on the next New Wisco Weekend. I'm Lisa Hale.
I'm Terry Barr. Also a Green Bay woman's unique way of sharing history with the kids.
Saturday mornings at 8, Sundays at 11 on WGBW and WISS. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. In the overnight skies, turning mostly clear, light south winds and lows in the upper 20s. On Thursday, all kinds of sunshine, winds will be gusty, highs in the lower 50s. It will be colder Friday, highs back down into the 30s. It's 24 at our studios.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
The argument from my former party has been, it's not the guns, it's mental health. Well, no worries, folks. Governor Evers has got you covered. He introduced a plan to put millions of dollars into mental health, particularly for young kids. And the Republicans in the chamber did not
clap. If you can't be it for kids, then what the heck can you be for? Jeepers, criminy.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Dom Selvia.
Next time, former U.S. Attorney James Santel will break down the litany of executive orders and memos. Also, what are your rights as a U.S. citizen if you get nabbed by ICE? Tune in.
The Dom Selvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Oh, yeah, we're going to see sunshine today and abnormally warm temperatures for Wisconsin. Come on in, everybody. Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke on the radio. This is the Midwest Farm Report. Yeah, beautiful day today. Sunshine, looks like daytime highs touching out around 55 degrees. Yes, we will feel winds out of the southwest, gusting as high as 30 miles an hour. Tomorrow, 20% chance of rain, probably before lunchtime. Then cloudy skies. Daytime highs tomorrow, still around 44. Saturday, mostly cloudy, 37. Sunday, sunny and 51. But don't get too confident. Temperatures definitely take a nosedive coming up next week. Stu Mocker, ag meteorologist, has our weather details. He's joining us in about 15 minutes. Matt Tranel from EverAg is joining us before we wrap up the show. A couple of the items we'll be discussing with him. What's happening as far as cheese movement, and also the latest milk production figures that show the devastating loss California milk producers witnessed with high-path avian influenza in their dairy herd. Plus, Ben Jarbo catching up with a former policy advisor to the Trump administration the first time around. Why is agriculture as nervous as a long-tailed cat in a room full of rockers? Well, he explains why the history of the Trump administration keeps agribusiness edgy. That's all on the way for a Thursday morning.
Did you know soybean diseases like white mold and sudden death syndrome can survive in your soil even after rotating crops? Prevention of these diseases is a constant battle, and yield loss from an infection can be devastating. The right management plan makes all the difference. Keep your beans safe this spring with Heads Up Seed Treatment. Heads Up guards your seed from both white mold and SDS. Stay protected and profitable by asking your seed dealer for Heads Up. Learn more at headsupst.com.
Join the Midwest Farm Report team along with Wisconsin soybean and corn growers at the 2025 Corn Soy Expo on February 6th and 7th at the Kalahari Resort in the Wisconsin Dells. Learn from industry experts on disease updates, cover crops, DOT standards, weather patterns, and more. Comedian Greg Warren will bring humor to the closing of the event. Connect with fellow farmers and share ideas among the breakout session. And don't miss the popular beer and bowl session. For more information or to make plans to attend, visit cornsoyexpo.org.
Many times the changing of the guard hits a few bumps in the road. And I'm Jill Welke from the northern end of the world's longest barn here in Eau Claire. Within the last 6 months, there was a changing of the guard for the executive director position for the Wisconsin FFA Alumni and Supporters Group. And I don't think the road has been really bumpy for Terry Costello as she stepped into that role. Let's get started with some of your background that makes this role a perfect fit for you.
Good morning, Jill. Thanks for having me on the air. As you said, my name is Terry Costello. I just retired from being a high school agriculture education teacher in June. I spent 34 years in the classroom being a high school ag education instructor. I started my career in the New Holstein School District for 7 years. I spent 2 years working for the Ag Ed Network out of West Bend, where I helped develop curriculum and worked on customer service. And then the call to get back to education was just too great. I then spent the next 27 years teaching in the Waupun Area School District. And it's been a great job. I loved being a high school ag teacher. And then, once retiring, I was approached about applying for this position.
As an ag teacher, did you have a lot of influence when it came to the alumni and supporters at the schools that you taught at? I mean, did they help you out a lot?
Oh, absolutely. And I'm always very appreciative of the help that, you know, our alumni chapters provided for me and my students and the schools that I taught. But I also see there are so many amazing things And other chapters across the state that alumni offer their ag programs and ag teachers. That is what is something that I enjoy so much about being in this position, is just learning about some of the things that are happening in these other schools and how can we share that information with our teachers and our FFA alumni affiliates to see how they can use their time to help our instructors.
And now we're going to dive right into this executive director position. You felt like it was a perfect fit. Have you had a few surprises along the way or things that you're really embracing as you go on?
Well, absolutely. Anytime that you start a new position, there's always, bumps and it's just been a big learning curve. I'm trying to fill some pretty big shoes with Cheryl Steinbach. Mm-hmm. And who has done just a phenomenal job of leading this organization in the 7 years that she spent in this position. As far as getting into this position, I wish it wasn't under the reasons that I am. But the executive council for the Wisconsin FFA alumni and supporters have been really, really helpful in guiding me and getting me through the learning process of this position. There's just always lots to learn.
And we're chatting with Terry Costello. She's the new executive director for the Wisconsin FFA Alumni and Supporters. Now, you've had to take on a few different responsibilities, one of them being the Wisconsin FFA Alumni and Supporters Convention. Have you embraced that, got all your speakers lined up, and found out that, man, there's a lot of things that happen behind the scene?
Yeah, I kind of laughed. Some people made the comment to me, they're like, Terry, it's just like a big FFA banquet. And it is kind of true in some of those aspects. But there's a convention committee that has worked diligently, doing most of the legwork for the convention when it comes to lining up the tours, getting the speakers. Those things were already done. As a matter of fact, we are in the process of working on our 2026 and 2027 convention as well. So these people have been doing legwork for about 3 years in the preparation, and they are really they've really assembled a great program for the convention February 7th and 8th in Stevens Point this year.
With any new job, there's a lot of excitement, and there's always the push to do things the way they were done before. But to make the job your own, a lot of times you have to maybe change things up and have some new ideas. What are some of the new ideas that you've brought with you as the new executive director?
I think the one thing that I am probably at the forefront for me is I really, really want to make sure that we are telling the story of the FFA alumni as we talk about roles and responsibilities. The FFA alumni there is to support the agriculture instructors. And I think sometimes those, we kind of lose that focus. And that's what I want to focus on, are those positive relationships. And what can we do to support the teacher, not direct the program, but to support the teacher and support the program? And for me, that's something that's going to be really important to me in this role.
And it always takes a lot of communications, whether you're working at the state level or working with the local alumni. What are some of the things that the state level can do to support the local alumni as they support those FFA chapters?
I think it comes down to, the communication skills, providing them with a framework or the ideas of, what can they do? What can they do to support their programs? If we can continue to showcase what other alumni chapters are doing, I think that serves as an example of what they can do within their own affiliates. And I think one of the things that's going to be kind of neat at our alumni convention is we have provided grants for, I think it was 6 different FFA alumni chapters this year to help start doing programs within their chapters. And I think that's something that more alumni affiliates can take advantage of. And just the networking that's going to take place at the convention, I think is really critical to seeing alumni programs continue to grow.
Looking ahead, you talked a lot about communication, supporting those alumni and supporters chapters. Any other goals that you have up your sleeve that you'd like to see happen at the state level and maybe get a little more recognition out there?
Well, you know, our Wisconsin FFA alumni for the 7th year in a row has been named the number one state affiliate in the nation for the last 7 years. So I think, you know, that's a real testimony to the leadership of Cheryl Steinbach and the executive directors over those last 7 years. So, I mean, hopefully we can continue, you know, that same level of recognition. But, of course, we'd always like to see more FFA chapters embrace an alumni and for more alumni to see the positive benefits. That it's, I think, too often people look at alumni as a fundraising component for a chapter, which in a lot of cases it absolutely is. But there's so many talents within our alumni that, you know, it would be great to see more of our alumni embracing the roles of coaching and serving as judges and sharing their talents with our FFA members. If we can continue to improve that, I think that would be a step in the right direction.
And that was Terry Costello. She is the executive director for the Wisconsin FFA alumni and supporters. She's been in that job less than 6 months, and boy, I've seen a big uptick in those alumni. And I'm Jill Welke from the northern end of the world's longest barn here in Eau Claire.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as ag meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. American voters identifying as independent are the largest group of voters at 43%, according to recent Gallup polling. Depending on what kind of primary election your state parties have, millions of unaffiliated voters may not be able to vote. A bill in the U.S. House called the Let America Vote Act would change that. The National Conference of State Legislatures counts 10 states with closed primaries, allowing only party members to vote, and another 9 with partially closed primaries. 22 states have primaries open to unaffiliated voters. The bipartisan bill introduced January 3rd includes the right for any voter to vote in any taxpayer-funded election, and for unaffiliated voters to vote in any primary for federal office. It would withhold election assistance funding for states not allowing unaffiliated voters to vote in state and local elections and help to fund transitions to open primary systems. It prohibits any non-citizen from voting in federal elections, but also withholds election funding from states if non-citizens are allowed to vote in state or local elections, currently allowed in only 16 municipalities in the U.S. Primaries are often low turnout elections, which often bring out party activists, resulting in more extreme candidates. Allowing independent voters could pressure candidates to campaign to the middle and moderate more extreme positions. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
97.9 WGBW and WGBW.FM. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Angela Lang from Block Black Leaders Organizing Communities joins me to talk about not good test scores coming out of the city of Milwaukee. Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10. From Denmark to De Pere, this is 97.9 WGBW.
Me?
That's the number to use. I'm talking directly to him, Stumach Ag Meteorologist, joining us on a Thursday morning. Holy crow! This forecast leads me to believe that we might be pushing up against or maybe going past record-breaking temperatures. What do you think?
I think it looks very likely today, Pam. I looked at what Norwood records would be, right? In Madison, 47. 53 would be a record high in Milwaukee. 48 would top a record in La Crosse. 50 in Eau Claire. And I'd look up Green Bay. 42 is all we've got to beat. And I expect a lot of us are going to be up in the 50s today.
Oh, yeah. So. It sounds really good, but I'm just trying to figure out, wasn't it about this time a year ago when we got the only big snow we ended up with?
That could be. I don't have the date, but yeah, it was at that end of the month time.
Yeah. Well, we'll take what we've got now. Give us the details, and it sounds like maybe a little moisture on the way.
There's a little chance of that, yes. So the very mild air building in today and southwest winds. I mean, you mentioned grilling. That sounds great, but I'm also then looking at a southwest wind that could be gusting up at about 20 or 25 miles per hour. That makes it a little chilly, maybe a little problem with the grill, but we have a pretty quiet day. Otherwise, a fair amount of sunshine. There's a low trying to push up out of the south. There's some rain in Missouri and southern Illinois. Snow back in Colorado. The northern fringe of that system could brush southern Wisconsin late tonight or very early tomorrow with a little bit of light rain or a couple of snowflakes. That's not going to amount to much. That little system pulls away. A front dropping through out of the north could be a little more likelihood for a little bit of snow by quite late tonight or into Friday, and that would be up in the northwest part of the state. Not even an inch if we see it, but at least a little snow may fall there. And otherwise, I really expect we cool it off a little bit as we head on towards Saturday. Temperatures still above normal, though, even as we start on into next week when we get February underway this weekend. The above normal temperatures will be continuing, maybe not record setting like they could be today, but still above normal. And that pattern kind of sticks around into next week, starting to drop off, getting cooler when we push on toward the end of that first full week of February. I'll have forecast details right after this.
Did you know the definition of comfort foods is food that provides consolation or a feeling of well-being? I'll tell you what, they've got it from door to door at Bavaria Sausage. Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke inviting you to stop by Bavaria Sausage on the corner of Nesbitt Road, Fitchrona Road in Fitchburg. Open Monday through Friday, 9 until 7, Saturday, 9 until 1. Open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, online, BavariaSausage.com. If you're looking for comfort foods, look no further to Bavaria Sausage. With their old world flavors and diverse products, you won't run out of recipe ideas, that's for sure. Take a look, of course, at all their authentic German recipes that are available there, and some of the special items that you won't find anywhere else. Bavaria Sausage also looking forward to the breaks in Wisconsin's winter weather, where you might even think about grilling out. That's their strong suit, making sure whatever the weather allows that you've got a Bavaria brat ready for the grill. BavariaSausage.com. Check it out today. Yeah, grilling. Like you said, though, be careful with that wind. We've gotten some reports from farmers about little grass fires in Wisconsin. Not what we think of in January.
No, not a good thing, and the wind certainly could get anything taken away from us on a day like today. Let's talk about it. A very mild day, sunny, a little breezy, and even pushing 50 in the west. Could be mid-50s in the south. Southwest winds 5 to 15, gust to 25. Some clearing in the north yet tonight. More clouds, even a slight rain chance in the southern edge of the state late tonight. And we stay just about freezing or above in the south, maybe down into the upper 20s further north. And then I expect that little bit of rain chance in the south early tomorrow. Sky is clearing later. Some sunshine the rest of the state tomorrow. And we ought to be in the upper 30s and low 40s with the northeast winds at 5 to 15. Saturday, mostly cloudy. Could be that snow in the north. Not going to amount to much. Mid and upper 30s for highs, Pam. Southwest winds 10 to 20. And maybe a little snow north yet Sunday. Otherwise, kind of quiet wrapping up the weekend, but staying a little cooler.
All right, good enough. Well, we'll enjoy today and wait and see what tomorrow brings, okay?
Absolutely.
All right, my friend. We'll see you later. Good luck.
All right, bye now.
Stumach, ag meteorologist with the weather details you're looking for. Hey, speaking of details, if you're looking for details about my upcoming Canadian Rockies railroading trip, you can text me now, 877-301-FARM. We're leaving July 26th through August 2nd, starting in Calgary, then heading up towards Banff, on to Jasper, where we'll get on Canadian Via Rail will be overnight on the train. Then we'll start making our way towards Vancouver. Of course, there's agriculture highlights all along the way, including visiting a registered dairy herd on Victoria Island. So if you want to know more, you can talk or text right now, 877-301-FARM. I'll send you a link, 877-301-3276. Join me as we railroad the Canadian Rockies this summer.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
This is the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW. Matt Nair on air.
Dan Schaefer, Civic Media's political editor.
No court in the country came closer to overturning the 2020 election results than the conservative majority on the Wisconsin Supreme Court. And we have Brad Schimmel, who's been siding with January 6th rioters. So if you want your vote to count going forward, show up and vote on April 1st. Let's channel that energy into the Wisconsin Supreme Court race.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Nightlight with Pete Schwaba.
Where are you at with dome stadiums?
Oh, love them. Snow games are awesome, but it's also a risk of injuries and everything.
Give me a dome anytime. I don't want to see elite athletes running on snow like it's me playing out there and tripping and slipping. I want to watch those guys run. I want the receivers to run and catch their passes. I want to see great athletes being great athletes.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Imagine home. The smell of coffee, the sound of a lawnmower, the sun's warmth on your face. Free to be yourself, surrounded by love that helps you grow. This is a place to call home. That's an American dream we all deserve. But in 50% of U.S. states, you could legally be denied housing if you are LGBTQ+. Get the facts and hear real stories at lovehasnolabels.com. Brought to you by Love Has No Labels and the Ad Council.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free. Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for Nightlight with Pete Schwaba.
This is a special report from ABC News. I'm Sherry Preston. The U.S. figure skating team confirms some of its members, coaches, and relatives were on board the American Airlines regional jet that crashed into the Potomac overnight in Washington, D.C. after colliding with an Army Black Hawk helicopter on a training mission.
The explosion sending what was left of both aircrafts plunging into the Potomac River. The water temperature, life-threatening, with the river only just starting to thaw after being frozen for weeks. Experts say the runway the plane was approaching is rarely used and say the helicopter should not have been in the approaching area of an active runway.
ABC's Alex Prochet in D.C., where Police Chief John Donnelly says
the conditions out there are extremely rough for the responders. It's cold. They're dealing with relatively windy conditions.
Just before the collision, the pilot of the Army chopper confirmed to air traffic control it did see the regional jet. This is ABC News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwaba. Most people probably remember MTV's Tom Green Show in the early 2000s. According to the New York Post, the host comedian, who also acted in the awful Freddy Got Fingered, left Hollywood in 2021 and now lives on a farm in Ontario, Canada. Green says it was the best thing he ever did because he is not a Hollywood guy. Green has a new documentary called This is the Tom Green Story you can check out on Amazon Prime. Not sure if Timothy Chalamet is getting a taste of the proceeds from resurgent Bob Dylan songs, but it sounds like he should because he's the one resurging. Chalamet plays Bob Dylan in the Oscar-nominated film A Complete Unknown and hosted Saturday Night Live last weekend, while also appearing as the show's musical guest. The Oscar-nominated actor played the song Tomorrow is a Long Time, one of his personal favorites. The song did not even appear in the film, but is at number 63 on the iTunes Top 100. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Badgers fall to the Terrapins.
Hi,
I'm Mike Clemens with sports. A Big Ten matchup in men's basketball ending up in a loss for Wisconsin as the Badgers fall 76-68 to Maryland. Head coach Greg Gard on what happened.
You know, against a really good team on the road, you obviously have to take care of the ball, which I thought we did a much better job the second half. And then you've got to be able to make some plays and make shots. You know, credit to Maryland in terms of they made things more difficult for us.
The Marquette Golden Eagles are the ninth-ranked team in the nation. They're getting ready to host number 25th-ranked UConn Saturday night at 7 o'clock. Head coach Shaka Smart on what he looks for in a recruit.
We value three things: relationships. Number two, we value growth. We get these guys during a very formative time of their life. They're between 18 and 22 years old. If you're not growing, there's a problem. And our third core value, very simple: victory. We're here to win. So absolutely, we want people that value victory.
That's Marquette Shaka Smart. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Peach Wabba. On the next Nightlight, actor Rick Overton from Groundhog Day joins me to discuss Groundhog Day. Then I'm joined by Chris Hopper and Kurt Krause from the Door County Film Festival. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Peach Wabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price of the Overnight Skies, turning mostly clear, light south winds and lows in the upper 20s. On Thursday, all kinds of sunshine, winds will be gusty, highs in the lower 50s. It will be colder Friday, highs back down into the 30s. It's 21 at our studios.
Carmelo Anthony for The Bail Project.
Bad news, you've been arrested. Good news, you're innocent until proven guilty. If you can pay your bail, good news, you go home to wait your trial. If you can't, sorry, you go to jail to wait. But sure, you still presumed innocent. But since you can't afford bail, you've lost your freedom. That's not right. And that's why the Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting the in-cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Open that conversation with this person that you disagree with so much by trying to find the shared value, the thing that you both actually agree about. Challenge yourself to keep bringing it back to the value that we agree on and maybe even the outcome that we wish to see. Go have the tough conversation, because you know what gets better with practice? Those tough conversations.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Alba Show.
The argument from my former party has been, it's not the guns, it's mental health. Well, no worries, folks. Governor Evers has got you covered. He introduced a plan to put millions of dollars into mental health, particularly for young kids. And the Republicans in the chamber did not clap. If you can't be for kids, then what the heck can you be for? Jeepers, criminy.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts. You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
That first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster?
because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
From Ashwaubenon to Alloway, this is 97.9 WGBW.
Incompetency. But Nick, as a Packers fan, I know this. We can never have everything on the same page. So
wow, really successful trip to San Antonio, Texas for the 106th Annual Convention of the American Farm Bureau Federation. Going to recap some of the honors that the Wisconsin Farm Bureau Federation received. Welcome back, everybody. It's a Thursday. Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke on the radio. This is the Midwest Farm Report. We're also going to hear some thoughts from a former Trump economic advisor on why agriculture stays anxious when it comes to trade policies and repercussions against agriculture. Plus, Matt Trannell from EverAg discussing all things dairy with us on a Thursday. Yeah, today, a Thursday, the 30th day of January. What can I tell you? Let's see. On this day in 1969, the Beatles gave their very last public performance. They performed on the rooftop of an Apple building in London on this day, back in 1969. On this day in 1982, the very first computer virus was released into the wild. It was actually a practical joke by a 15-year-old when he created Elk Cloner, which was the very first computer virus that was really a victim for everybody. That was on this day back in 1982. Couple happy birthdays for you. Happy birthday to actor Christian Bale. He's 51. Singer-songwriter Phil Collins turns 74 today. And wow, Gene Hackman is 95 years young. Ooh, and now you know. Fair to say that production agriculture probably helped Donald Trump return to the White House. But that doesn't mean that farmers and agribusinesses aren't anxious about repercussions against agriculture under the Trump administration. Ben Jarboe caught up with a former senior economic advisor to the Trump administration in his first administration and found out a little bit more about what makes agriculture and agribusiness anxious about retaliatory tariffs.
The Trump administration is now back in office and ready for the next 4 years, but there's still a lot of uncertainty on what that could bring. I'm Ben Jarboe with the Midwest Farm Report, and it is well known that Trump is planning to implement tariffs on other countries, including Canada and Mexico. Nick Paulson is a professor of agriculture economics at the University of Illinois, and in 2019, he also spent time as a senior economist on the Council of Economic Advisors in the White House. With this insider experience, he's going to share what he feels will possibly be seen this time around with the administration as far as tariffs and staffing.
Yeah, so I mean, I think, you know, my experience on the council is we had a whole team who worked on trade issues because trade was such an important part of Trump's first administration. And, you know, our job was to provide, you know, objective analysis on what the implications of some of his proposed trade policies would be. So not necessarily whether things were right or wrong, but like what would happen from an economic standpoint. And in the case of trade policy, if you're talking about tariffs, that generally is going to lead to some negative impacts, particularly on certain industries that are heavily reliant on exports, because if we place tariffs on imports from other countries, they typically retaliate with tariffs on our exports to them, and then that hurts demand for industries that do rely on exports.
Well, and he's been saying 25% tariffs on, say, like Mexico, Canada. What would that do to our ag economy here if that were to somehow make it through at that extreme of a level?
The challenge with agriculture is, you know, the U.S. is, we do rely so heavily for a lot of our major ag commodities on export markets, which unfortunately makes them a prime target for some of that retaliatory action. When we put in place tariffs on other countries, you know, ag is an easy target for them to put tariffs on our exports to them. And so even if agriculture is not part of the broader policy objectives of that trade policy, it unfortunately a lot of times feels the brunt of some of the negative consequences.
Well, just based off the time that you spent in D.C., kind of working with the administration, trying to piece together the numbers and stuff, what are some of the things that may not have taken effect then that you think could possibly now see the light of day?
Well, this is true of any administration that gets a second term, and I think maybe even more so in the case of the Trump administration, because they had the break between the first and second terms to really gear up for the second time around, is that, you know, I think they're going to be much more strategic in the appointments and the staffing decisions that they make to really streamline a lot of the things that they want to do. And so, in my time, you know, looking at trade policy in D.C. In the first administration, you know, there were quite a few instances where, you know, our analysis showed, you know, some of the potentially very costly outcomes of some of the trade policies. I do wonder whether this second time around, if some of the people were put in similar positions to the ones I was in or the people I worked with, you know, whether there will still be sort of those voices of dissent, if you will, in terms of the cost that some of these trade policies in particular might create for industries like agriculture.
Paulson also says that he feels with the Trump administration in office again that there will be some regulatory rollbacks for the agriculture industry to allow farmers to continue to produce at a high level. From the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Ben Jarbo.
Veltima fungicide outyields the competition by an average of 7 bushels per acre. But you've never been average. The only competition that really matters is you versus you. And with the performance of Veltima fungicide from BASF, you can take your best results even further. Beat your own record. Get every bushel you deserve. And make this your best season yet with Veltima fungicide from BASF. Always read and follow label directions.
If you milk with robots, you know that cow flow is everything. Cow Corner Consulting helps you maximize cow flow by working with your team to improve your barn workflows, your feed management, and your system settings. Visit cow-corner.co to learn how. Cow Corner is an independent consulting company and works with all brands of robots. They're ready to go to work for you. Sign up for the free e-newsletter or contact John Gerbitz at cow-corner.co.
Beautiful day on the way today. Daytime highs under sunny skies, right around 55 degrees. Tomorrow, chance of rain in the forecast before lunchtime. Congratulations to the Wisconsin Farm Bureau Federation. The delegates and staff just returned from the 106th annual meeting of the American Farm Bureau Federation in San Antonio, Texas, where Wisconsin picked up the Pinnacle Award. That's the highest honor a state farm bureau can be afforded for program and member achievements. They also received the New Horizon Award for their new innovative Gather Wisconsin program, which is a group of resources to connect consumers with the farmers that grow and raise their family's food. Special individual congratulations to Callie Jo Coates from Racine County. She made it to the Sweet 16 in the discussion meet. Lynn Leahy from Heartland Farms was reappointed to the Farm Bureau Federation's Promotion and Education Committee. And Dunn County's Ben and Hallie Sand wrapped up their two-year term on the Farm Bureau's Young Farmers and Ranchers Committee. Brad Olson, president of the Wisconsin Farm Bureau Federation, was named to a one-year term on the American Farm Bureau Federation's Board of Directors. Congratulations, all. Markets in overnight electronic trade this morning are in the red ink. Right now, December corn's trading almost 2 cents lower, 4.65. November beans are down 4, 10.59. July wheat down 2 at 5.86. dairy. Yesterday, barrel cheese was unchanged. 40-pound block cheese gained four at 193, while AA butter dropped four to 246. February Class 3 milk that goes into cheese was up a nickel at 2039. March up eight at 2010 a hundredweight. Just around the corner, Matt Trannell from EverEgg is going to join us, recap some of what he sees in the latest milk production figures from across the United States, including California, where they saw a devastating milk production loss because of high path avian influenza in dairy. Matt's next.
Can't get enough farm news? The stories you hear and more 24/7 at MidwestFarmReport.com. Stay tuned as we'll be right back.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Hey, it's John Mino.
And Jim Schmidt from Mino and the Mayor.
Want to stay in the loop with all things Northeast Wisconsin? Sign up for the WGBW weekly newsletter.
Get the latest local stories, updates on the weather, and a special feature from our Mino and the Mayor podcast.
It's your one-stop shop for real news and great conversation in Northeast Wisconsin.
Log on to WGBW.fm today and get signed up.
Real news, great conversation. Sign up today at WGBW.fm/newsletter.
It's the most competitive sport for all to enjoy, and Milwaukee is even the capital for it. It's bowling, and the oldest bowling alley is in Wisconsin. Holler House is home to the two oldest sanctioned lanes in the U.S. and are still made of the wood installed in 1908. The building on West Lincoln in Milwaukee looks the same. Musicians Joe Walsh and Jack White have thrown a ball down those 115-year-old lanes. Now, can you guess the tradition that continues here to this day? A hot beef sandwich, just 25 cents. The pins still set by people? Swear, and you're tossed out. The answer coming up. The fifth and sixth generations run Holler House, so some odd history does remain, like bras hanging from the rafters. The alleys have even been featured in the Wall Street Journal and Sports Illustrated. So what's your guess about the continuing tradition? It's the pins still being set by people. No machines here. These stories make it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba.
Where are you at with dome stadiums?
Oh, love them. Snow games are awesome, but it's also a risk of injuries and everything.
Give me a dome anytime. I don't want to see elite athletes running on snow like it's me playing out there and tripping and slipping. I want to watch those guys run. I want the receivers to run and catch their passes. I want to see great athletes being great athletes.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as things get cheesy for what's worse, blue cheese or American cheese. The controversy continues. You weigh in. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Maggie Dawn Show. Management advice, really in any sector, and that includes food processing. You know, we talk about how High Path has impacted the poultry industry. If you're in the food business and you need eggs for your food, you might need a little risk management from somebody in agriculture. The EverEgg crew has the depth at the field to be able to help you out there. Matt Trannell joining us live this morning. All right, buddy, I want to jump right in. I won't say a surprise, but kind of a surprise. When you look at the December milk production figures for the 24 major dairy producing states, the big dogs, I'm talking places like California, Arizona, really slipped off the cracker this time. And for California, it was in part because of High Path and their dairy herd, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, the last three milk production reports, essentially the big watch point has been California, and that's been due to their experience with the bird flu. Last month for November, that was a little bit of a surprise when USDA did essentially come in at negative 9.2% year over year decline in milk production. It's worth noting that USDA did backpedal on that November number. They brought it back to 7.9% negative, which is still a huge number and something we continue to watch. For December, though, California ended up coming in at negative 6.8% year over year. And so during December, We were hearing a lot about the bird flu really kind of moving to their northern region, being up towards the Hillmar, California territory. And that seems to have made its way into the overall milk production report, given that USDA put them down 6.8%. I would expect in the January report that comes out in February that we probably will have a slight revision again. I think USDA is kind of throwing their best dart at the wall, trying to guess where that's at. They don't know exactly where it's going to come in at, but either way, being down 7%, we're going to see some type of effect in January as well from a California standpoint. When you do look at the other, I will say, major milk regions around the country, we did actually see some growth. So we got to keep in the back of our mind that as California continues to rebound in production, if some of these other territories are growing, that could be a little bit worrisome moving forward. The Northwest was up 1%. Southwest was up 2.9%. The Midwest was up 0.8%. And then the Mideast was up 1%. So overall, because California accounted for such a big number, they're essentially 18% of the U.S. milk production. Overall, the December 2024 milk production report had the U.S. down 0.5%, which was less milk produced than what most industry guesses were at. I know Everag, we were at -0.1%. So there was less milk than what we had projected.
Matt Tranel is joining us live this morning on the Midwest Farm Report. Again, I want to remind you about their website, ever.ag. Sorry to interrupt you, Matt. But yeah, these numbers were definitely, I know everybody was talking about it. The other question I've got, maybe you guys at Everag have been talking to the actual dairies impacted. We talk about the rebound factor. How long does California expect that it's going to take for them to be able to rebound? 30 days, 45 days? It sounds like a lot of these cows rebound pretty fast, but may not get back to peak production.
Yeah, that's what we've been picking up too, is that these cows generally do rebound fairly quickly. And I would say that because we're going through January and we're going to be going into February, the weather is not going to be as big of a concern from a heat standpoint. And so I think the cows will rebound. We have seen specifically in like states such as Texas that had bird flu hit during the summer months when it's been super hot, that cows typically take a lot longer to rebound. So my guess would be sometime in first or early second quarter, these cows should rebound and we'll probably be back to maybe -1-2% in California, where it's not as big of a deal to the national average, I guess you could say.
Right, right. You know, we've got the end of the month coming up all of a sudden, February 1st on Saturday, and you're kind of providing cautionary advice on February 1st. That could be when we start to learn a few details on tariffs. It's a big softball right now, Matt, but agriculture needs to be kind of keeping their head on a swivel, huh?
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, there's definitely some concern. There was definitely comments from the Trump administration where we are long-term looking for better trade deals with some of our partners. Some of our partners, such as China, which we've had issues with in the past, but also Canada and Mexico. And the previous talk was that tariffs were going to go into effect first day of Trump's administration. They've kind of been backpedaled to February 1st. So this weekend, we're either going to learn that we have tariffs with some of our major trading partners, or that might have just been rhetoric, throw it at the wall, see what sticks, and go from there. If we do end up putting on tariffs this weekend, and we'll see if it affects dairy, but you could see some price decreases next week with those tariffs. If we come into next week and there are no tariffs, ultimately you could see some green on the screen. So nonetheless, it is one of the risks that we do have facing us in 2025. And as of the latest release and news, February 1st is when it's supposed to be announced. So stay tuned for February 1st. That's going to be a big announcement.
Well, and you know, like you point out, it doesn't have to involve agriculture. I mean, these tariffs could be on anything, and yet agriculture seems to come in the crosshairs when it comes to retaliatory efforts.
Absolutely. In 2018, they put some Mexico put some tariffs on the U.S. as a result of some of the tariffs when we were trying to renegotiate NAFTA. But I would caution everybody that Europe is currently working with Mexico on a free trade agreement as well while this ordeal with the United States is going on. So some other countries are looking at this as an opportunity to get in with one of our major buyers. So either way, it's probably not, at least short term, a positive thing. Hopefully long term it is.
And people have to realize Mexico and Canada, the number one and two customers of U.S. dairy.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mexico is huge. 35 million pounds of cheese went to Mexico just last month. So they are big.
Yeah. All right, Matt. Appreciate the time, my friend. Always great insight. We'll have them check you guys out at ever.ag or maybe bump into you in one of the winter conferences yet to come.
Absolutely. I'll be there.
All right, buddy. Have a good one. Thanks, Matt.
Yep. You too. Yep. See you, fam.
Matt Trannell joining us live on a Thursday morning here on the Midwest Farm Report. One of the broker analysts you want to talk to at ever.ag. Their website, again, ever.ag. Got a question about what's going on in dairy? Or you want to share your thoughts? Do it on the talk text line, please. 877-301-FARM. That's 877-301-3276.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Todd Allball Show.
Mino and the Mayor.
He's negotiating with our paid sponsor here.
Sorry. That is true. Sorry. I forgot you were a paid sponsor.
Kristen Ambos, Point Mortgage Corporation.
How are you, Kristen?
I am good. How are you guys
doing?
Good.
Nice to see you.
I freaking love starting my mornings with you.
We love having you here. We really do.
Mino and the Mayor, weekday mornings 6 till 9 on 97.9 WGBW and 98.3 and 96.5 WISS and the Civic Media app.
Sticker shock at the grocery store. Why food prices are so high. Today on Farm to Fork.
Hey there, it's Mike Rowe, and if you're out there getting dirty, do me a favor and remember to call or click 811 before you dig. And when I say dig, I refer to any activity requiring boring, tilling, drilling, probing, reaming, plowing, drudging, or even scoping. Anything that causes you to roll up your sleeves a little and dig in requires you to first connect with 811 so that you can avoid all those buried pipes, wires, and cables underground. To sum up, call or click 811 before you dig and visit safeexcavator.com for more information.
A farm can be a great place to raise a family, but it can also be a dangerous place for children. Kids can learn a lot about work and responsibility, but you have to use good judgment when assigning tasks. It's best to wait if you're not certain a child is up to the task. Farm safety and health is everyone's business. This reminder is brought to you by Farm to Fork through the generous support of listeners like you across the country. Learn how you can help at NorthShoreProductions.com. Earlier this month, I did a show about the slowing inflation rate for food in the U.S. Today, we dig into why those food costs have risen. Don Thilmany is a professor of agricultural and resource economics at Colorado State University.
People might not know this, but about 50% of the cost of food that we eat is labor in some way, shape, or form. And as a country, we've actually made some commitments to really raise wages for a large set of our workers. And since 50% of our food cost is labor, that's going to end up trickling through to our food cost as well. So most people would think that plays out well, because if we're all making more money, we can spend more money on food. But of course, that hasn't been even across the economy.
Besides labor costs, Thilmany says.
But there's a couple other things, too. Those supply chain disruptions also affected energy costs, which are big for agriculture. We also have seen some weird versions of disease outbreaks that really have affected a couple of sectors.
While we can complain about grocery bills and restaurant meal costs, Thilmany says we might consider being thankful that we have adequate food supplies available in this country. She'll be back tomorrow to explain further. That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
What do you know about Black History Month? Stories past and present on the next New Wisco Weekend. I'm Lisa Hale.
I'm Terry Barr. Also a Green Bay woman's unique way of sharing history with the kids.
Saturday mornings at 8, Sundays at 11 on WGBW and WISS.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute.
Today, I'm talking about why, if you've got savings, you need a high-yield savings account. High yield just means high interest, you know, the money the bank pays you for keeping your money with them. You will probably find the highest yield savings accounts at an online bank. Just go on and Google and do some research and figure out who's offering the highest rates right now. Now, lately, it's been between 4 and 5%. That is your savings earning real interest. And okay, figuring out all the details of opening a new bank account can be very annoying, but I bet you can probably get one going in less than an hour. So give yourself 60 minutes and get it done. I've done it. You'll thank yourself when you see your money making money for doing nothing. For more everyday money help, check out my videos at Work Money Media on YouTube. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
This is 97.9 WGBW Denmark, Green Bay's real news and great conversation, a Civic Media radio station.
This is a special report from ABC News. I'm Sherry Preston.
I look out the window and you see the reflection of the light from the rescue helicopters on the water.
That woman lives in Arlington, Virginia, not far from where an Army Black Hawk helicopter and a passenger jet that had started its flight in Wichita, Kansas, collided overnight. 300 rescue crew members are on the scene. So was ABC's Whit Johnson.
We know that collision happened as an American Airlines flight was making its approach for landing, then hitting that Black Hawk helicopter. 60 passengers, four crew members were on board the plane. We know that three Army soldiers were on board that helicopter. So far, officials say there is no word of any survivors, and they are recovering victims.
Among those on that flight, members of the U.S. figure skating team who had competed in the national championships in Wichita last weekend. The NTSB is investigating the cause of the collision. This is ABC News. Facebook parent company Meta.